Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
The scripture reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 17 through 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness.
Good morning. It's an honor to be here this morning and have the opportunity to speak. And it's also an honor to have the opportunity to be here all summer worshiping with you and interning under Andrew. I've really enjoyed it up to this point, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the summer as well. I've grown up for the past 7 or 8 years in my faith so much through the efforts of Graymere and through the Future Ministers Camp that you all support and put on, and I'm just so thankful for your support in that. I'm thankful for that camp and all that it's meant for me, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here and to even further improve upon my ministry skills and whatnot. So I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to be here, and I'm thankful for this congregation. In the beginning of the universe, God created everything within 6 days. And it was on day six that He said, "Let us make man in our image." And so He did. He created humans, male and female, in the image of God. It's a great privilege and honor to be created in the image of God, but it's also a great responsibility. Adam and Eve were placed in the garden to demonstrate God's image. And they did so clearly and consistently until they ate of the fruit. Once they ate of that forbidden fruit, the image was blurred. And perhaps you remember those, I'm sure most of you remember them better than I do, those disposable cameras. You would take pictures with those disposable cameras, you would go and get the pictures developed, and then you would be looking through those pictures, and some of them you would look at and you would go, "What is this? What was I even trying to take a picture of? What image was I trying to capture?" Once Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, the image of God was blurred. And it's possible that there are some of us here today who feel as if we have blurred the image of God. But in the passage we just had read in Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 24, we see that God gives us instructions as to how we can clearly demonstrate His image. And He begins by saying this, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity." You see, the first thing we must understand in displaying God's image is we must understand what we cannot be like. And earlier in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul explains that that Christianity is open to all people. It's open to the Jews and to the Gentiles. You see, the Jews were seen as the godly people, the descendants of Abraham. While the Gentiles, they were seen as the godless people. Everyone who was not a descendant of Abraham. And Paul has just gotten finished explaining that the godless can become the godly, but they cannot live godlessly. And this is his point here. They cannot live godlessly. Look at the consequences of living godlessly. Paul says that if we live godlessly, if we live like the Gentiles, our understanding is going to be darkened. And we're going to be alienated from the life of God. We're going to be ignorant, and we're going to be separated from God if we live godlessly. Why is it that we're going to be darkened in our understanding? Why is it that we're going to be alienated from God? He says it's because of the ignorance that is in them. Why are they ignorant? Because of the hardness of their heart. Why is their heart hardened? Because they have given themselves up to sensuality. This idea behind sensuality is that it's unfiltered lust, unfiltered desires. Perhaps a way to illustrate this is in thinking about a child. A child, whenever they get birthday money, they instantly think about how fast they can spend that money. They're thinking about how they can update their toy collection. And they want to collect those toys, and they want to store up those toys. And they're focused on that. Or perhaps you can imagine with me a couple of men who are walking alongside a river. One of them is older than the other, and they see this bed of rocks, and they think to themselves, all right, let's skip rocks. And so they begin to skip the rocks across the river, and they begin to get a little competitive. They want to see who can skip the rocks the highest number of times. And so they're throwing the rocks time and time again. Okay, but both of them start to notice that their arm's starting to hurt. And the older man says, no, okay, I'm going to stop. The younger man says, no pain, no gain. And he's going to keep competing. He's going to keep trying to skip the rocks as high of a number as possible with that competitive drive. You see, even though it's one syllable, one of the hardest words for us to say is no. The Gentile philosophy of life was a selfish center of life. They were selfishly focused on their own desires. And they didn't know how or when to tell themselves no. They were solely focused on telling themselves yes. They were solely focused on pleasing their next desire. They were chasing an unfiltered lust. You see, selfishness leads to blurriness. Selfishness leads to blurriness. Whenever Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, they did so because they thought it was going to make them more like God, even though in reality it made them less like God. And they saw that the fruit was desirable to the eye. They saw that it would taste good. And so they ate it. But that was a selfish thing to do, and their selfishness led to a blurriness of the image of God. And our selfishness will lead to a blurriness of the image of God as well. But our transformation will lead to clarity. Our transformation leads to clarity. Whenever we are transformed at conversion, that image of God becomes clear once again. That image of God becomes clear once again. And you see, as Paul continues in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, he draws a line in the sand. He says, but this is not the way you learn Christ. But this is not the way you learn Christ. And then he goes on to explain, that conversion process, the process of becoming a Christian. He says, assuming that you heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, Paul here is describing the conversion process, the process that we go through to become Christians, the process we go through to be transformed into His image and to clearly display that image. He says that we have to put off the old self. We have to put off those old habits of sin and corruption. Why? Because they are corrupting the image of God. They are corrupting the image of God. So we have to be willing to put off our old self. In Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 32, in the rest of chapter 4, Paul continues to explain and to demonstrate and give examples of putting off the old self. He says that we have to stop lying and that we have to start telling the truth. He says that we have to stop stealing and start sharing. He tells us that we have to stop tearing down with our words and that we have to start building up with our words. He tells us that we have to be completely dedicated to God and that instead of holding a grudge, we have to forgive others. You see, Paul describes what it is like for us to repent, for us to make that complete 180, that idea of us turning away from these bad habits and putting on and creating these new habits. He describes that transformation process. He goes on in verses 17 through 24 to describe us putting on a new self. And we know that from Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 that we put on a new self through baptism. And that it is through being washed in the blood of God and of Christ that we put on a new self and we become a new creature. And so you see, Paul here is describing that process of becoming a new person. See, because transformation leads to clarity, while selfishness leads to blurriness. So we have to ask ourselves whether or not we're going to be selfish and we're going to blur the image of God, or whether or not we are going to be transformed and demonstrate clearly the image of God. Once we are transformed into the image of God, it is then that we can be commanded in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 to be imitators of God. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. See, there's this idea between love and giving. We see that connection throughout Scripture. For example, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And here we see that same idea, walk in love as Christ walked in love and gave Himself up for us. See, whenever we're walking in love, we have to walk being willing to sacrifice certain things, being willing to say no to ourselves. You see, that Gentile philosophy of life, that selfish philosophy of life, we see a lot in today's culture and in today's world. But that's not the way we learned Christ. That's not what we learned to do as Christians. And so we must be willing to say no to ourselves from time to time. We must be willing to draw that line in the sand and say, I'm displaying the image of God. I'm displaying the image of God today clearly and consistently. Because that was Paul's message. That was Paul's message to them. But it involves us making sacrifices and being willing to make sacrifices. And in order to do so, we have to understand that our minds need to be renewed as well. You know, part of that repentive process is having our mind renewed. Part of that repentant process is being willing to say, okay, I need to look at this differently. You see, whenever our mind is renewed, we stop looking at things from our own perspective, and we start looking at things from God's perspective. And once we look at things from God's perspective, it is then that we can see the things that we need to get out of our life. We can see the things that we need to say no to. And if our goal is to demonstrate the image of God, then we must be transformed. Because the only way to clearly demonstrate God's image is to be transformed. Selfishness leads to blurriness, but transformation leads to clarity. If you feel as if you have blurred the image of God, if you feel as if you're blurring the image of God, then we want to invite you to experience that transformation. See, we've gathered here as a healed people, as a fixed people, as a corrected people. But because we are healed, because we are corrected, because we are fixed, we have once been broken. We have once been sick. We have once been hurting. But through the blood of Christ, we have been transformed. And we can now say that we have gathered here as a healed people, as a corrected people, as a fixed people. We can say that we have gathered here as a saved people. If you desire to be able to recognize yourself among the saved, if you desire to display God's image clearly, and you need to be transformed through baptism, or if you need the prayers of the church, or if you would rather have the prayers of the elders who are going to meet right out here after services to pray with you, then please, whatever you need, whatever your need is, we invite you to respond in that way. As together we stand and sing.